This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. The goal on here is to make listeners aware of interesting companies, smart people, and new technology developments, all of them meaningful in making digital signage projects happen. I try to help listeners understand sometimes complicated subjects and why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but things happen now and then. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 69 has been around since 2006, and the publication and podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which provides customer engagement solutions for business. You can find them at spectrio.com. There are a few companies in digital signage that have picked a vertical market, got into it, and stayed very much in that lane. But I can't think of any other companies in the sector that operate like DBSI, a Phoenix area company that provides and manages a full-featured digital signage solution for its retail banking customers, but also designs and builds branches, among many things. The company's been around for 20 plus years, and its customers range from small regional credit unions to whale accounts like Wells Fargo. For the last 8 years, DBSI has done a survey of banking customers that benchmarks the adoption rate, state, and trends with respect to in-branch digital efforts. I've been through the deck and noted a lot of interesting insights about how on-screen messaging is being used and how banking customers see the ROI. I spoke with a couple of folks from DBSI, Jared Jones, a digital transformation strategist, and Elisa Semyahina, the head of digital signage. Jared and Elisa, thank you for joining me. Can you give me a rundown on what DBSI is all about, where you're located, and what's the range of work that you do?
Yeah, so DBSI is located just outside of Phoenix, Arizona, here in Chandler. In short, you know, our mission is really just to set out to redefine the banking industry. We found a very unique way to fuse together the design build aspect, the equipment aspect, and of course, technology up to including, to be a little bit more pertinent to this podcast, digital signage.
Yeah, it's interesting in that I assume DBSI, the DB is design build, and it's interesting in that you do the actual, design of bank branches and credit union branches and so on, and that digital signage is not just a bolt-on thing, it's like a big part of what you do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All too often what we're finding is our clients, whenever you use the bolt-on approach, you get a lot of finger-pointing, and the messaging isn't concise, but the staff, the members, and customers get a very, for lack of a better word, almost a choppy experience, to whereas whenever you're able to house it all under one roof, it allows you to really take a very intentional, very proactive approach to all the different elements of the bank branch process, building the bank process.
And this is what DBSI does. Like, you're not also servicing the healthcare industry or hotels or things like that. Like, banking is your vertical.
Exactly, exclusively our vertical, actually. And that's really one of our competitive advantages, simply due to the fact whenever you work with a local architect, we found that the banking credit union executives have to spend a good, I've seen it everywhere from a week to a month, really just educating them on, the industry, maybe industry best practices, what their customers and members are really trying to achieve, how you really kind of try to guide the flow. So by us exclusively dealing in the banking industry, it allows us to develop our own best practices. That way we can almost take a driver's seat in really educating our clients on, kind of the industry, what it's really evolving into, how we can maybe shrink the footprint. We understand, what a teller cash recycler is. We understand how to move a pneumatic tube to where we can lower the FTE and things of that nature. So again, by us exclusively dealing in this industry, it allows us to kind of take the driver's seat and really educating our clients rather than having to educate a local architect.
And I assume that with the banking industry, like many industries these days, they really don't want to have a whole bunch of service providers doing one aspect of what they do. So if they can nail it down to, okay, you guys just figure this out for us and help us with it, as opposed to let's put together a team of vendors and make this happen, it's just cleaner this way, right?
Right. It's just that single point of contact. Mm-hmm. It just allows us to really take ownership over the entire project and allows us to ultimately, own the project and allow us to deliver.
So is it strictly in the United States, or are you in other countries doing work?
Presently, we are just in the United States. We have either current or past projects in all 50, but we do not do international work.
So if I live in Canada, so I don't really know the banks down there other than ATM machines when I'm traveling. But if I were a U.S. resident, what institutions would I are you guys active with who they might know and that you're allowed to talk about?
Wells Fargo, we do a lot of business with. Mm-hmm. Artis Bank, you know, they're kind of a super regional down there in the South. Navy Federal Credit Union, they utilize our technology. And I would say those are probably our big three.
Okay.
Where a lot of your listeners would have to understand who we are and what we do.
So you have big whale clients like Wells Fargo, but you also do smaller regional credit unions, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we've done business with, like I said, everyone from Wells Fargo to, you know, and obviously they're in the trillions in asset size to where, you know, we also deal with very local community credit unions, you know, sub 100 million assets.
Mm-hmm. We're having this chat because you guys, well, I'm interested in speaking with you anyways, but you have an annual report, a benchmark report that you put out that kind of looks at the state of digital signage and the adoption rate of it. How is that put together and how often have you done that?
Yeah, so we started doing the annual digital signage benchmarking report about, I think, 7 or 8 years ago now. And essentially what it is, it's like I told you before, Dave, you know, we try to take that very intentional approach, very data-centric, data-driven into our process. So with that, we really want to understand what the industry was saying and how they're leveraging it. Of course, you know, it allows us to kind of better refine our best practices. But now we've actually grown to about, I think, just over 430 respondents. Different banks and credit unions and allowing us to kind of get an insight how they're using digital signage in their branches and headquarters.
So you're doing a survey of some kind?
Yeah. So it's kind of an incentive-based survey. It's actually kind of a unique approach we use because there are a couple of barriers sometimes whenever they're accepting gifts from different vendors. We actually offered a $10 gift certificate either to the person filling out the survey, or we were going to donate that $10 in a charity of their choice. So it was kind of fun. It allows us to kind of give in their name, because I don't know how familiar you are, Dave, but that's actually one of my most passionate favorite parts, rather, of working with community banks and credit unions is their true commitment to their community. So through this, obviously, we get the data that we can share with the industry, and then they get, you know, kind of that continuation of their mission to kind of do right by their community.
Okay, so let's talk about what you found in the 2022 report. It's called Off the Charts. Were there any surprises?
Yeah. So one of the surprises that I actually found was that only 6% of digital signage content was going to be utilized for onboarding to a little lower cost channel, i.e. their mobile platform. For whatever reason, this has been a hot topic item for probably, I would say, comfortably the last 10, maybe 15 mm-hmm. years, where banking executives are trying to actually onboard their clients to a little bit lower cost channel. And I don't want to speak for other industries. I can only assume that being the same, but it is a lot cheaper for me to sign up for a, you know, different financial product like a savings account or checking account or maybe even a credit card, that whenever I can offload it into a mobile channel, it allows it to take it from, I think it's just over maybe $3 or $4 a transaction, all the way to, I think, maybe 20, 25 cents. So that was probably my biggest surprise. But Elisa, I think you had number one?
Yes, definitely. Actually, I had a lot of surprises from the survey, which I would like to share, starting
sure.
with the content management kind of like systems. So we noticed that the increase of actually expenditures for the software increased. But with that also increased the stress level. So I was actually interested to see the correlation between that. So, and one of the interesting facts was that our clients or just banks and credit unions, marketing manager teams, they're looking for features and capabilities. So again, the just displaying content is not good enough for them. It's actually looking for a faster approach to deploy to all branch network. And we're talking about not just one or two branches. We're talking about 300 plus branches. So how efficient you are with that. Mm-hmm. And the next part is the worries about the IT side, because again, if you're using, let's say, flash drives, you're not going to be efficient. You need the whole team of facility teams or IT teams to go to each branch and deploy content. And that's where, again, that disconnect is. So many different vendors or teams are working on content or deploying content that you cannot be on time with weather information, weather rates change, or anything like that. And with that, your branch team is left with no support from the marketing team. So that's where I found one of my biggest surprises.
Yeah, I was interested by that the big pain points within the banking industry with respect to digital signage was managing the content and creating content for it, and also worrying about the IT side of it. I find it quite kind of amazing that you still have vendor, or pardon me, end users who are using flash drives and don't have scalability or anything.
You'd be surprised.
Is that just a function of this was version one of what they were doing, and it they learned the hard way that's what they should not have done, or are they kind of keeping with what they were doing originally and not even understanding that there's an easier way?
I think you're spot on, Dave. I think it was the conceptual phase for even proving that digital signage has a place in their branches. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like having the conversation with quite a few of our clients who are transitioning to a different solution. And as you know, we are not only software, partnering with software companies, but also content creators. So with that, when we have the conversations, we are coming from different perspectives. Again, what's the best solution for them? And of course, again, the ease of deployment, the ease of creation content, ease of updating content. And it's also on the go, right? Right now, everything has to happen on the go. So can you update your content from your cell phone, for example, or bring that experience that's differentiating you from anything like that, anyone else down the street? So if I'm coming to a branch and I see my name on the screen welcoming me, yeah, I would love to see that, right? But can software support that? So I think it's proving the concept and then moving into a different level where how do we do that? And that's where I think most financial institutions need help.
Hmm. Is it a function of the financial institutions and the communicators within those companies understanding that this is not a technology investment as much as it's a communications investment, and you have to think content first, and the technology is important, but it's the underlying stuff?
I think it's also an interesting point where both of them need to be going hand in hand. It has to be a strategy for technology as well as strategy for content. And I believe Jared has some more thoughts on that.
Yeah, so to your point, Dave, yes, of course it is a technology investment, but it's also an experience investment. You know, all too often what we're seeing inside these branches and headquarters is kind of a stale environment, to put it lightly. To where whenever you're actually going to take that intentional approach behind your digital signage strategy, it allows you to, you know, have complete control over your endpoints with the right content manager system to, you know, anywhere from as granular as changing the hours that your content's going to display, whether you want it client-facing or staff-facing, or to that very hyper-customized content, what Elisa was just talking about, you know, where either I can say, you know, whenever I walk into a bank or credit union, you can say, welcome, Jared. Or some of that nature. So really, it's an experience investment is how I classify that.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Do you have a sense, I'm sure you do, of what's the truly impactful content and kind of messaging in branch? Because when I go to my local branch, and after I do this interview, I've got to go to the bank, I'm going to walk in there and it's going to have digital signage behind the counter showing me news headlines and the weather, and then some kind of generic messaging about the branch. And I'm just thinking, they've made the investment, but they really haven't thought through the content, because I just came from outside. I know what the weather is, and I don't need news headlines when I walk into a branch.
Right. And really, that's kind of where we start to differentiate ourselves. Don't get me wrong. As you're well aware, and I've listened to several episodes of you now, Dave, so I get you understand, you know, the placement of the screens and, you know, the quality of the screens. But really, that's just one pillar of it. And really, I would almost say the second pillar is going to be this content development, to where it's not just saying, hey, now we offer free checking, or here's the local news headlines, or maybe the weather or something of that nature. It's really about getting that hyper-local content. One of the more rewarding things that I get about working with these community banks and credit unions, like I said, is their community involvement. So whether it's setting up scholarships, whether it's going to be volunteering for Habitat or Humanity, whether it's going to be, you know, charitable donations, things of that nature, whenever, you know, each branch has its own, you know, little fun mission, it creates a little bit of more sense of community. It allows a little friendly competition, and ultimately it allows the communities to win. I don't want to speak for other industries, but I think right now, people are more concerned with the missions of the businesses that they do business with. So whether it's, you know, Tom's Shoes, whether it's going to be, you know, I buy a pair and they donate a pair, Bombas socks, again, I buy a pair, donate a pair. I want to feel good about where I'm spending my money, where I'm spending my time. So whenever these banks and credit unions can kind of educate their client base saying, hey, you know, I just raised, you know, $52,000 or something, you know, it makes me feel good. Like, hey, you know, they're actually taking my money and they're investing it back into my community, which obviously I care much about. So I really like that approach of it.
I'm looking at some of the results of the survey, and what gets shown on the screens more than anything else is promotions and branding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right approach, or is that just what people are doing and you would kind of move them more towards the community messaging?
That is an approach. You know, that's really kind of where we're going to work with the marketing teams and really kind of understand what their overall overarching business objectives are. Yes, you know, of course, you know, product education is one. Then we're going to actually move into that community involvement piece. Then we're going to go to kind of meet the team. That way we kind of build a sense of trust and a little bit of camaraderie. That way I can understand who my banker is going to be. So there are several pillars. And actually, I want to pass it back over to Lisa to kind of go in a little bit deeper dive from a content creation and where would you like to focus for that in-branch strategy.
And Dave, you, again, you raised quite a great point about promotions, right? So many promotions, as traditionally speaking, they have short legs, right? We are talking about just something very actionable. There is a headline, there is copy, and so in so many cases, it's not actually thought through based on the campaign kind of like level. Because mm-hmm. the campaign level, it's again, we're connecting on the emotional level. And we are connecting with our customers, members from the life cycle approach, like what's important to them, where they are right now, why they actually are at the branch, and how we can help them. So we're moving from that transactional mindset into advisory mindset and be able to speak to them and see where what they're doing right now at the branch, how we can help them, how we can migrate them, let's say, to mobile channels to, again, be time efficient, give them time back, because rather than coming to the bank and coming to the branch only for very specific, again, reasons, how to, let's say, are we starting out something? Are we at the stage where we're setting up our business or we're buying a new car? And all those questions being answered, not something where we go and Google, which we can, but it will be, again, that approach where you actually mean something and that personalization of experience. And from the perspective of, and you saw in the report as well, I was one of the surprises, again, I saw displaying rates was 46%, I believe. And that's a high rate of displaying just the rate, and you're competing with the cell phone. So if I see a rate on the screen, I want to know, am I getting the best rate? But mm-hmm. if I'm actually connecting on the with my members or customers on the emotional level, again, if I refinanced, if someone else got the fantastic experience and they shared that experience, I want to know what happened. I want to work with that person because, again, I want that experience as well. So I think just promotional, and a lot of marketing teams realize that, and they know that they probably just don't have time to implement that, is that moving from promotional side into the campaign side.
Yeah, it sounds like if you, for cost and resource reasons, use commodity information like financial rates, mm-hmm. That sort of thing, it's great in terms of the amount of time you have to allocate to this, but you're not resonating, you're not reaching your customers, you're not striking an emotional chord with them, you're just telling them stuff that they can get elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It in looking at some of the outcomes of the report, one of the things that I found interesting is that the perfect formula for doing content is a blend of in-house and agency work. So if you just do in-house work, maybe you don't have the creative chops and the understanding of reaching people emotionally. But if you just do agency work, it's going to clobber your budget.
That is very true. But we also work with teams of 1 to 3 marketing teams. And they have to actually take not only spend time on digital signage, but on everything else. They're wearing so many hats, right? And they have ideas. The question is always time and priorities, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, and we've been working with many small teams, and we are amazed at how many great ideas they have. And what we are actually doing is we're helping to streamline, help them to actually set the structure to content calendar, to, again, content creation, and helping them where they need us. Because at the end of the day, we don't want to do everything for them. Because like you said, if you're outsourcing everything, then you're losing that connection with the core of your institution. Mm-hmm. And if you are doing everything in-house, you don't have time for everything. So with this, we're working as a partner with our clients to make sure there is that balance. And of course, sometimes you want to outsource something because it could be time consuming. So like, for example, we're talking about animations or drone videos or any other fun projects that you would like to bring into your space, whether it's headquarters or branch. But again, you have to hire someone, you have to look for someone. And that's where our expertise comes in.
One of the other data points from this year's report is I was struck by how built out the banking industry and the credit union industry is. Like, there's the great majority of them, and particularly when you get to the larger institutions, have digital signage. But I also get a sense that while there's a lot of digital signage activity out there, maybe a lot of it isn't done all that well yet. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, it is. And that's kind of where Elisa was talking about, as far as, you know, we've had the pleasure of working with teams of all consisting of 1 to probably, you know, 2 or 3 dozen, depending on the size of the institution. Wow. And, you know, it's really kind of interesting. It's really not just from an asset size of the bank or credit union as far as their sophistication or their level of intentionality that they're able to put behind their content development. Because, as you know, marketing teams tend to wear very many hats. So unfortunately, they're constantly being pulled in all these different directions. So I guess in short, to answer your question, there's not really a rhyme or reason as far as the size of the team. It's more so just the priority list of the bank or credit union on the content development there.
Another point that was made is the understanding of what to do inside the branch is pretty broad. Maybe some institutions could do it better, but the next big area to be looking at developing is outside the branch. How would that work?
Yeah, so one of the things that we're actually trying to leverage digital signage is really try to take it from the interior approach to also increase its reach from, you know, an exterior. And that's, of course, you know, implementing it into the pillars of the drive-through to actually, you know, implementing a two-way video in the drive-through lanes themselves. And essentially what that is what we like to say is almost like a 24/7 sell element. While the banks and credit unions are traditionally only open for about 8 to 9 hours a day, whenever you have a strategy that's going to be going in branch and then exterior wise, it allows you to kind of really gain the potential clients that you could be having in that community and allows them to just draw recognition to the branch and, you know, kind of invoke that feeling to get them to go in.
There's an argument to be made, and I've heard this a few times, that the pandemic and the need to kind of restrict access into retail operations, including banks and so on, has forced people who are maybe digital hesitant to learn how to do online banking and mobile banking and so on. And therefore, the branches, which were already starting to be narrow in terms of their audience, was getting even narrower and forcing banks to kind of rethink what a branch was all about and how it worked and so on. Is that happening? And does that kind of connect to how digital signage is being rethought in those branches?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just internally here at DBSI, you know, we've seen a drastic shift from the way our banking and credit union customers or clients rather are interacting with their clients to where we actually see a drastic shift into the drive-through. And that's where we wanted to try to pivot saying, hey, you know, we need to kind of get that homogenous feel from not only from your social media and interior. Now we actually need to start pushing this digital signage into your drive-thrus via incorporating it fairly simply, rather, into a drive-thru. And then actually we've started, like I said, implementing into the exterior branch of the pillars. So it's really not just a one-trick pony, if you will. There's a very intentional approach to where we ensure that, you know, it's the proper placement where the clients really interact with it.
If you had to define, you know, kind of an ideal mid-sized non-flagship branch, indoors and out, what would be the mix of things that are there and what are you showing on those screens?
So I would say it's going to be a lobby screen and something behind the teleline. So it could be a single screen. It could be 2x2 video wall. But again, we're talking about non-flagship branches. So usually you're going to see some two screens or maybe one screen depending on the footprint. And the mix of content, and that's where the strategy of content is coming into play. Like, what's the percentage of content to show behind the teletower and behind, and in the lobby area? So that's where the community involvement piece, business recognition and involvement in charitable events are coming into play. Definitely, you already made that point about whether news. Information. We don't want to see that. We want to see, again, to connect and with our, again, community, with our members and customers, and then providing the advisory function and educational function behind the teleline, because that's where we see a lot of potential education, security, also content. Especially in the past 2 years, I saw the increase of that content over there. I would say from the interactive experience, tablets in medium-sized branches are going to be more prevalent than interactive kiosks. So you will see those more in the flagship branches. And again, kind of like allowing that mobility as well at the branch.
And when it comes to interactive, what's the content mix? When people interact with the touchscreens, what are they using it for? Because I've been in branches where they had touchscreens and then blinked away on them and thought, well, I didn't really need to use this. I could have used my phone or I don't see the point of this. It's just like, hey, we've got a touchscreen. Please use it.
You are so spot on that, because again, there has to be a strategy for having interactive digital signage in your branch. Just by placing the interactive screen on a tablet, it doesn't mean that it's going to be utilized. And you also need to train your branch team to actually use that technology to their advantage. And what we've seen and what we are working with our clients on is actually the information about kind of like getting them to understand that this is your tool to kind of like dive into the products and services, onboarding tutorials. Those we actually create those and recommend our clients creating those quick 1-3 step points with maybe even videos or static images, how to quickly onboard on whether it's mobile banking, e-statements, or anything like that. Because again, our clients have, what, 60, 70 products and services. You cannot remember all of them. So this is the tool that they're going to be using. So it's probably not specifically for customers and members. It's more for the branch team.
All right. The last thing I wanted to get into was ROI. One of the questions in your survey was, why are financial institutions investing in digital signage? I was intrigued that the top reason remained, or maybe it wasn't the top reason, I'm just looking at this. One of the big reasons was modernizing the branch look and feel. But the biggest ROI thing that I came across, which was encouraging, was it was boosting sales.
Yeah, so about, I think, going on, you know, 3 or 4 years that we've seen that we kind of made this approach or some transition into asking this question, because all too often I feel like marketing teams are being asked, you know, kind of what's the so what? You know, is it just a matter of looking pretty? Is it, like you said, you know, is it just about modernization? Well, you know, as Elisa was just talking about, you know, the average financial institution has anywhere from, you know, 50 to 70 products and sometimes even more. And also kind of the play there is, you know, depending on what publication you read, it's going to be hovering around this 2 to 3 as far as average financial products per household. If I consider you my primary financial institution, and really the main contributor is that just a lack of knowledge. So let's say I have a credit card at one credit union and then maybe a checking and savings at another bank. And then now I'm going to actually have my brokerage account and my insurance at, you know, each individual institution. So that's going to be, what, 4 or 5 different FIs there. Well, and that's simply because I didn't realize that the credit union or bank that I primarily go to, you know, 3 or 4 miles away from my house, has all those products and services. So really where we kind of like to understand our clients and really just kind of educate our members rather and client and their customers is just going to be centralized around, hey, product education and more importantly, product utilization. Because it's not about just, you know, increasing your financial products. It's more so about helping your clients to really kind of guide them down that financial journey.
All right. This was super interesting. The benchmarking report, how does one get that? Do you need to be a client?
So we actually have it published on our website at dbsi-inc.com under our blog section. Then, of course, you know, I'm sure our contact information is going to be listed in the podcast. So please feel free to either reach out to either myself or Elisa, and we'd be more than happy to get you with a copy.
All right. I appreciate you guys taking some time with me, and I hope you're enjoying the weather down in Chandler, which is way nicer than it is here.
Just a little bit. You'll get the last laugh in summertime, though, I promise. That's
correct. All right. Thanks again.
Thank you,
Dave.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 69, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the archive and find hundreds of conversations with smart industry people. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 169 at 16-9.net. You'll find more than 8,000 posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. 169 is not a press release republishing mill like a lot of the stuff out there. If something makes it on 169, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 69 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and the key one here is ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. Check out all the curated and automated content available at screenfeed.com. 69, the blog, and the podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which does customer engagement solutions, most of that digital signage, for all kinds of businesses. You'll find them in the Tampa area and online at Spectrio. That's spectrio.com. You'll find me working out of a sunny back room in my house located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.